Conscious Collaboration brings together entrepreneurs, change makers, and thought leaders. We aim to highlight the people that embody the idea of aligned mind, body, and business. Each week, we share, discuss, and learn from the various experiences and ideas of our guest experts. Through our discovery, we find a path to an aligned mind, body, and business.
What up, y'all? I'm Emily.
And I'm Lisa, and we are the Conscious Collaboration. Hey,
yes,
Emily.
We is. Hey, Lisa, what's up?
Running a little low on bandwidth today.
Low bandwidth. The theme. We're trying to figure out what that actually means as we apply it to our own personal bandwidth.
Yes, because that segues perfectly into what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. And that is all the things related to letting go things that no longer serve us. And that includes things that might not even be good for us, like grind culture.
And grind culture.
Yes. Grind culture. So what that means, grind culture is, back to the grind, filling your days up with structures, with things that are crazy busy, that might be household things, it might be kid-related things, it might be work-related things, it might even be related to our workouts, but all of that gets us mm-hmm. into a grind in our day.
Hustle culture, too, I've heard it called.
Yeah, hustle culture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. Neither of those sound good to me. Hustle doesn't sound good to me. Grind doesn't sound good to me.
I mean, I like both of those words in certain contexts, but, that type of energy I do feel is necessary at times, but if we're always talking about the ebbs and flows between energy that is necessary as a person, as an entrepreneur, and so to me, that would represent just being in grind mode, in hustle mode, in like young, hard, yeah. masculine, go, go, go mode all the time, which, as we'll talk about, it sort of being like thrown around like a badge of honor in a lot of ways. You can definitely see that in the fitness space, but, in the workplace. Too, it's not good. It's that you literally cannot sustain, at least in a healthy and productive way, that grind all the time mentality, that, team no sleep kind of mentality. But I get it at the same time. I definitely have a propensity to if I'm going to be in an unhealthy mode, it's definitely towards the grind and hustle.
Well, there's also like a thing, an object in motion stays in motion. So, but we take that to an extreme and it's like mm-hmm. we never stop. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, it's a young imbalance and it's become very addictive. And it causes a lot of disorientation in a day and not being able to trust, yourself in what you're doing. And also, contributes a lot to that feeling short, especially mm-hmm. as we're a lot of us look outside of ourselves, periodically. And there's the appearance of someone being able to be superhuman and accomplish all the things, all the time. And again, I mean, that's just a short window or like.
And you know what, whether you're talking about fitness or business or parenting, whatever it is, it's actually counterproductive, right? To the goal or the objective of doing the most because of what you're doing to your nervous system, your cognition, your hormones. You cannot when you're burning the candle at both ends like that, you can't apply your best and most effective energy to all these things that you're doing. So you're really, you know, okay, let's look at fitness in terms of, say, either aesthetics or performance, you know what I mean? And you just think doing more is always better, is always the way to get there faster. But if you're applying that mindset to fitness, to exercise and nutrition, then you're actually going to end up looking worse at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And performing worse, whichever your sort of ultimate goal is, you know, and even if you're a person like, you know, like myself or a lot of people who tend to kind of fall into this category who can, we'll say, get away with that for a while, right? Like, you're a robust person and you can maybe go, you know, a longer time without taking a break from lifting weights, or, you know, go a long time without, you know, sleeping and still be pretty functional, right? So you think, I'm okay. Like, I can handle it. But just being able to handle it doesn't mean that it's actually good for you or even doing for you what you think it's doing. It's not. It's guaranteed working against you. Even if you don't see or feel those consequences right away, you know, that eventually it'll all become apparent, like the kind of damage that you've done. Sometimes it's like, it seems to happen all at once, right? Like you've been getting away with this for so long, and then all of a sudden you've got like injury after injury after injury. And, you know, you're wondering what happened, and it's like, well, you've been just
extreme for so long.
For so long, yeah. You're you know, denying probably any signs that your body is trying to give you that, hey, maybe this isn't the best thing to do. And that can show up in a lot of ways, which I've been experienced to some level this past week. You know, a little bit different, I guess, or a variation of what we're talking about, but still kind of applies the same principles. So, you know, I'll just share to a pretty open degree things that, I don't know, maybe aren't super normal for people to talk about on podcasts, but you know, I'll talk about my cycle, whatever. You know, women out there can relate. So, in the competition that I was in, the bodybuilding competition I was in this past weekend, you know, the week leading up to the show is known as peak week, right? You're already done with the work aspect of it. And it's really generally just to your benefit to kind of chill out, right? Well, as much as I was trying to do that, I wasn't, you know, ignoring that information and trying to hustle and grind my way into the show or anything like that. But, you know, this is to speak of the stress and anxiety that being in that hustle and grind mode all the time can bring about. Sunday or Monday to start my peak week, rapidly came on like my pre-cycle bloating, like 5 pounds overnight. Okay. And as much as I was doing for myself to de-stress, inevitably, when you know you have to, you know, get up on a stage in a tiny little bikini in, you know, 5-6 days and you look like a shredded pregnant belly, right? Which is completely normal for just a normal person walking around and fine. But when you know you have to, do that, it is stressful pretty much no matter what is going on. And so, you know, I was able to make it better than it was by the time we got to show day. But, I was still having a real, real hard time on that day, like holding in my core to the degree I know I'm able to. And I never actually got my cycle. Because I think I was just stressing it so much. That's just an example of a clear physical manifestation, basically, of stress and anxiety, that I dealt with last week. So all that is to say that while you're in the thick of it, in the thick of the grind, you may experience things, you're very likely to experience things that you won't even connect to that hustle, that grind, that stress that we're creating for ourselves, you know what I mean? And we tell ourselves, a lot of it, some of it is externally mediated, right? We were talking off air about, how companies are having people come back in to the office now, even though maybe, we've seen that's not the best way for all industries to operate. But I think, in my opinion, a large amount of this pressure to hustle and grind just comes from ourselves. We tell ourselves that we have to, that there's no other way, right? But at the end of the day, when you peel back all the layers, that's simply not true. And like I said, usually just completely counterproductive to what you're actually trying to achieve, which is getting it all done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, collecting and retention in this sense, your body is manifesting its stress or, the tension that it's under all the time. Do you feel like Louise Hay, how she studies the manifestation of stress in the body? Do you feel that you retained your stress or your hormones were spiked as a result that caused you to collect or maintain in your core?
Yeah, I mean, probably some element of both, right? Like, there's just the energetic aspect of being stressed. And yeah, there's a hormonal process that happens when you're stressed, excess cortisol. And, even it just became one of those things where like I could do all the yoga and the breath work and the ice baths and take all the supplements I wanted to. But at the end of the day, that fight with Mother Nature is always a losing battle. If you find yourself having to fight it.
So to me, from not knowing anything about the competition and just seeing you walk out on stage and the pictures and everything, you look completely perfect to me. I'm not a judge, so I have no.
Thank you. And that, that's anybody else, looking at it as just a normal person would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But as the person, as the body, and my coach could see it too, like could just see there was a difference for sure. And it affected me on stage, which again, not enough to, I still did well, right? But I knew how I felt before and how my core felt and looked before and the difference between this time. And it felt different. It was harder. And I was working so hard to try to hold it in that, like, at one point, they were keeping us up on stage, you know, in these poses, for a really long time. So there was one point where, like, I started shaking really bad, because I was tensing my muscles so much, for so long, that my muscles were kind of starting to not fail, but, you know, my muscles were kind of starting to give a little bit, because I was pulling my core so hard.
So, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. That's so hard. It's so hard to hold on to managing all the things, all of the expectations that we have, that we put on ourselves to feel that we need to do. I mean, you brought up the comment of, corporations bringing people back into the workplace. And a lot of that is maybe where a lot of us are more comfortable and familiar with being in an office cubicle, clawfish situation, in a large building with other people. So it feels more comfortable, even though it's not necessarily better for everybody across the board. It's something that feels safe and familiar to some degree, but it's taking away a lot of things too that we know that are beneficial.
Yeah. And that one's probably a little more like case by case basis, right? Like, some people might have a really shitty home situation and can't get any work done at home, that kind of thing. I imagine some industries, like, really saw, like, a problem in productivity. I don't know.
Yeah.
We were already both, working for ourselves, by that time. And I certainly, you know, enjoyed, reworking how I saw my schedule. But, I think that forcing everybody to go back as a general blanket thing does ignore a lot of what we learned, from that. And it's like, once you get everybody used to it for 3 years and you're like, now you want me to go back. But, I definitely think it ignores some of the benefits of, possibly some of the possible benefits, I should say, from working remotely as opposed to working in a building. You could argue too, again, depending on the environment, like, that, you know, getting that human connection back, is beneficial as well, if that was lacking. But again, case by case, that it just kind of depends on the person and the company and everything else.
At the Conscious Collaboration Podcast, we are proud affiliates of Atapa medical grade red light therapy devices. Red light therapy boasts a long list of clinically proven benefits, many that I and many of my clients have experienced firsthand. You can be sure that you'll be able to train harder, recover faster, and sleep better with Atapa red light therapy. Visit myatapa.com, myatapa.com, or use the link in our Instagram bio to shop with the code COLLAB15, that's COLLAB15, for a discount on your device.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think, I know it's case by case situation, and maybe there are companies that are doing a better job or having some type of, like, flex situation that's being worked out, or maybe they're making improvements to the office spaces that remain so that they have a better setup that has more of the biophilia, the more windows, the plants, the better arrangements so that you're not staring into the corner of in many cases, a closet, or, there's a sense of expansiveness so that you're not feeling locked in. So maybe there are improvements. I don't know, but I think it's talking about this attachment to grind culture that we've created. And I think it's largely Western Hemisphere created, because working with people internationally, there seems to be more of a recognition of, you know, having that flexibility or even taking months off at a time to allow that balance. So, you know, for whatever reason, you know, those of us that have gotten this attachment to grind culture and wearing it as a badge of honor, we hear it even in the entrepreneur space within like the whole hashtag mom boss or girl boss or whatever, whatever space that is. It's like being able to do it all to the extreme implies you're better able.
Right. Which is like not for long.
You're on the verge of breaking it down.
Not for long. Yeah. And we were talking too about, you know, not only the, you know, no days off sort of badge of honor, but even sort of people like wearing their mental health diagnoses or presumed diagnoses as a badge of honor. I have ADD. I have, you know, this and that, which, like, not, there's obviously nothing, you know, wrong with having a diagnosis like that, but you do, you see people talking about it in such a way that it's like,
is it something that we're creating?
You're proud of that.
but it's over stimulation all the time.
And then just perpetuating it, like, you know, with the continued behaviors of the hustle and the grind. How do you expect your, you know, anxiety to subside if you're constantly banging the microphone, but you know, if you're constantly applying that pressure to your nervous system and you're never giving it any relief?
Yeah.
People get sick more, right? People get sick more because it just wears your immune system thin. You know?
Yeah. To the point, I mean, and obviously we recognize that there are very valid diagnoses, and it has been very underdiagnosed to have, especially women that are neurodivergent is under, you know, just recently being studied. But it really makes me wonder, like, is divergent even like the right term at this point? It's like,
right. A lot of it is self-perpetuated.
Nor normal.
By our behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, there are things we could do, just like obesity, right? Diabetes, whatever. There are things we could do with our lifestyle, first to, start to correct and improve these things.
Absolutely.
People can also then, though, take those tendencies and, you know, again, using exercise as an example, they can apply the same, you know, mentality to a good thing and turn a good thing into just as toxic of a thing. You know, exercise is the best way to manage stress, depression, anxiety when applied properly.
Yeah.
But it's also something that people can abuse.
Hyper focus on it, overdo it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We see that a lot. And it's contagious. It's like,
is it better than abusing heroin? Yeah.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah.
But it doesn't make it good for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes me think about, you know, as we're so careful and discerning about who we share our lives with in our circles. If one person gets into an extreme, it seems to like catch like wildfire that everybody is coming up to mirror their own experience to match that. So, you know, it's just massive, massive burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
and denial, you know, of burnout, and the cycle continues.
Mm-hmm. What do you say we close it out with a couple I Ching cards?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
Word, bird.
I miss my bird I used to have that used to like mimic me in the background. I'm not going to get another, though. There's too much going on here.
Yeah, I it's like a cool thought, but you know, anytime I've like hung out at somebody's house that has a bird, I end up thinking to myself, like, I would get really fucking
after
a while, you know.
Okay, so I'm looking to see what the energy is around the topic that we're discussing today of grind culture and what steps we can take to release it in the coming weeks. So this is really appropriate if those people are listening in this second week. Is it the second week? Yeah, second week of March. So we just had the Pisces new moon. So perfect time to be letting go of things that no longer serve. But really, it's good for any time. So what is the energy around grind culture? And what steps can we take to improve it going forward? So the energy around is revolution, hexagram 49. And then the steps that we can take moving forward. Increase. So we'll have to see what that translates to. So revolution.
Increase recovery.
Right. Let's see. So we get revolution a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In order to succeed, a revolution must be in alignment with the laws of nature and good timing. It must begin at the right moment, gather support from a broad base of people, and be guided by sincere and capable leaders. And most important of all, address a real need. So this is the energy around grind culture. And that we're discussing ways that we can release our attachment to grind culture. So I think revolution speaks to, we're not the only ones talking about this right now.
Well, and like you said, it catches like wildfire in terms of like when people are in that grind culture mentality. So what would be required to reverse that is also a revolution. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the opposite to catch like wildfire.
Yes. Yeah.
Because so, basically when you're talking about grind culture, a culture implies that it's like, you know, an entire group of people. So in order to change the behavior of an entire group of people, that requires revolution.
So revolution in this sense, when we're looking at this, the change lines as we shift into increase, which is hexagram 42. So this is when you're about to make a revolutionary change, it's not something that's going to be done all at once. That would cause, you know, that would be a rebellion. So mm-hmm. it would cause negative reaction if everyone were to say we're resisting these grind culture things that have been ingrained in us for so long. It wouldn't feel very good. It would be like an uprising. It would be perceived
like
as
a
negative.
Revolt. Yeah.
Right.
But revolution, just drop one letter. Evolution is always done in a stepwise fashion.
So it talks about just repeating the conversation, like keep the conversation open, listen to well-founded complaints. Everyone deserves to be heard in this case of revolution in terms of grind culture. Examine and consider the situation thoroughly, because timing is really important. So if you were to, like, you know, a small sector of us is going to just go astray, and you know, we're going to be ebb and flow all the time. We're not doing this grind culture thing. It's going to actually not serve the cause for the greater good. So making a radical change requires appropriate level of authority. The emphasis is on unselfish motives and broad, mature views. Be especially wary of pettiness and narrow thinking. Visualize institutions in which certain values need to be changed. This is a lot deeper than I thought, Emily. Stressing justice as opposed to hypocrisy. Good luck, promotion, and success are indicated, especially if you are in a relatively humble position or if you are living a quiet life. So, you know, it starts from a humble position, starting small, revolution for people that are feeling this need to, you know, let go of our attachment to the grind culture, the hustle part. It's going to have to be done subtly. And it's going to have to be received well by people who hold these institutions that are imposing the grind culture. So find subtle ways to be heard and reach their core values so that it can be done in a peaceful, mediated way. So steps moving forward, what can we do towards this? And continue the conversation. It indicates increase. Substantial progress and increasing prosperity are exhilarating and good, as long as you go with the flow and keep the interests of others in mind. So I think, like you said, like, not everyone has an entrepreneur mindset and likes to be mobile and have their autonomy all the time. Some people like to have that report in, check out, and sometimes the space or the, you know, work, for example, requires people to be in a space. That's just one example. But looking at, for example, changing the culture of exercise or expectations around having the hustle and grind in that. So it's going to be keeping the interests of others in mind. So recognizing and honoring those who like those bursts or intensity. But finding ways, especially if you're a leader like you, Emily, and others, that fitness trainers, so on and so forth, continue that conversation of ways that you can bring things back into harmony. Make sure that you find those counterbalance of stillness, peacefulness.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take rest days, basically. Apply that to whatever, you know, piece of this conversation you want to. You know, bursts of intensity are not a bad thing, and they're very necessary, you know, to achieve things and to move forward and to progress in any aspect. But you gotta take rest days. You can't build muscle or anything else without recovery.
And it's hard. You even talked about it when you were, like, told the days that you were just going to be, What'd you call it? Be a loaf or be a log?
A loaf.
You were like, it's hard. I can't do it. I call my cat Loaf because he looks like a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's hard to just be still.
And I'm right now shaking my legs.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it is.
So this talks to times favor prosperity in terms of making this revolutionary change, releasing our attachment to the grind culture, hustle culture. When leadership is in the hands of broad-minded, so I think this speaks to the importance of making sure there's the right leadership culturally and in institutions. That
right. Well, if your leader is in the grind mentality, then
yeah,
of course, that's going to be the culture.
Exactly. and good fortune results. So I think this bodes really well for the revolutionary change in terms of culturally releasing grind or hustle. And yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sure does.
I don't know. I'm excited about that. But, and, you know, I think we, you and I, in this podcast, we always try to inject ways that we can create that balance. It's always a subtopic and theme. And I think it's part of our philosophies and our work that we do, you and your training and me with Feng Shui. It's, you know, we recognize that balance. And I think we're lucky to be able to connect with others that have that same mission attached to what we do on a daily basis. So, and I think we have lots of people like that inside of the Conscious Collaboration Collective on Facebook.
We sure do.
So we if sure you do. Would like to share with us some of your challenges that you face being caught up in the hustle and the grind and ways that you're mitigating that or that you might have thought of as we were discussing or ways that you want to be a part of the revolution to shake that up, join us there. You can find the link provided in the description. And as always, you can find us on all the social media channels.
Yes.
Holla
at us.
Well, thanks for joining us today and listening and supporting us, our little podcast, with your likes and shares and subscribes. And Emily is always good. I'm so proud of you for what you did in the competition. You looked amazing. And I saw you with your medal and I thought you won the whole competition, obviously. And I would never have
so close.
Never have guessed anything other than that. But it's amazing what you've accomplished. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I witnessed it firsthand, but how much you've achieved in a short period of time. And without too much hustle and grind.
I take my rest days.
You do. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's right.
All right. I'll talk to you in 5.
Talk to you guys in 5. Bye.
Bye.
Thank y'all so much for listening to our podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends so they can join our circle of collaboration on this journey. You can find us on Instagram at Conscious Collaboration Podcast, on Spotify, iTunes, and Audible, to name a few. Please join us next time for another deep dive into how you can live life in more alignment. Mind, body, and business. Send us your questions and comments in our DMs or email us at conscious collaboration podcast@gmail.com. See you in 5 minutes.